guys, it's not. So we studied a little earlier about redemption and justification. Tonight we're going to look at propitiation. Big word. It'll be really simple after we're done. And then we're going to look at vindication next week. Those are all facets of something that he's done for you. So out of Romans 3:25, and I'm going to read this out of the New English Translation. It says, God publicly displayed him, talking about Jesus, at his death as the mercy and accessible through faith. The King James is going to use the word propitiation. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because God in his forbearance had passed over the sins previously committed. Is there anything that just makes your blood boil? Yeah? What's something that makes your blood boil? Rude customers. There you go. Anybody else? Kids talking back. That just makes your blood boil. Somebody else? People being hateful. Just, we don't have time for that, right? Yeah. Somebody else? Can hear it? Lying. Yeah. How about the headlines in the news lately? Oh, Dean, I punched your button right there, didn't I? Yeah, there's things that just, it just makes our blood boil. Well, tonight, we're going to study about the thing that makes God's blood boil, and it's sin. And the reason that it happens, that he's that way about it, is not because he doesn't love us. It's because he hates what sin does to us. So a sinful man can't appease God with sacrifices. You can't appease. Appease is another word for propitiation. It means to satisfy like an anger. You can't do good efforts, and you can't use intellectual reasoning to appease God. Man, if that was true, we'd be ruling the roost, wouldn't we? Anybody in here besides me ever decided you were going to talk to God and explain your situation and expect a different outcome? Yeah, okay, thank you for honesty. But God himself, he took the initiation to do this. Out of love, and he made a way of atonement, appeasement. These are all other words for propitiation. And what had to happen was his blood was boiling. God's blood was boiling over sin and what it was doing to his people. But I'll tell you one thing, man, something that makes my blood boil. Anybody comes after my kids, you know, with criticism or, listen, I don't care if it's true. I'll deal with my kids. But you know what I'm saying? That just, man, my blood boils over stuff like that. Now, propitiation is also a legal term. And it means that you appease somebody that has been angry with you. So let's just say, you probably have this problem. Somebody eats all their food but the last bite and says something was wrong with it. Ding, ding, ding. And then they want it for free because they get angry and they want you to appease them. They want propitiation for it, right? Now you understand what that is. And so a lot of times somebody will do it just to, you know, make them, you know, be quiet and not cause a scene. And people know that, right? So they take advantage of that. But that can be a legal term where somebody goes somewhere and you're upset and you say, I want propitiation. A lawyer will say, well, we need propitiation for this. So big word, appease, atonement. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, we see this in the story of Jacob and Esau in Genesis 32 and 33. And do you remember what Jacob did to Esau? He and his mom deceived Isaac so that he blessed Jacob as the firstborn and not Esau. Man, Esau was mad because the blessing had already been given. And they tricked him by taking the sheepskin and putting it on his hands because Isaac couldn't see at that point. So he felt the hair and he goes, but you know, he wasn't sure, but he's like, well, I do feel that hairy arm, you know. So the deceit was gone. But in chapter 33, what happens is when we sin, when we do wrong, Jacob had to go into hiding because he was so afraid his brother was going to kill him because his brother was the hunter and he was the chef and he feared his brother. So he goes in. Now he's been tricked by Laban the same way he tricked Esau and got the wrong wife. Really, she was the right wife. She was the mom of Judah. But Leah and Rebecca, so he finally got the right wife. Well, he's going in and just stay with the word. He's going to make propitiation with Esau. He's going to appease him. He's going to make atonement. So he sends these servants out before him with all these, because God has blessed him. He's got all these cattle and herds and wives and children, and those are all blessings of the Lord. So he sends out one group and always says, this is for you, my Lord Esau, from, you know, my Lord Jacob, and please accept these gifts. And he did three times, and he said, every time you say, Jacob's coming. Well, the beauty of the story was, I don't know, and we can't tell by the Bible if it was the gifts that softened him or just the fact that he missed his brother after all these years. But when they finally meet, Esau's like, dude, I don't need any of that stuff. I'm more than blessed. But Jacob would not have it until he took it. He continued to stay after him to take it. So let's talk about the three things that we've already talked about. We're going to go ahead and talk about propitiation in this now that I've explained it. And I think that salvation is kind of like a diamond. You've probably heard the analogy of how the coal, the lump of coal, turns into the diamond because of pressure. But here's the thing about that diamond. When somebody wants to showcase a diamond to sell you something, they're going to set it against darkness, like a black velvet cloth or a dark blue cloth or something, because the darkness brings out the shine. Got it? The darkness brings out the shine. And not just that, but they have certain lights that catch the different facets and make that diamond sparkle. So tonight in salvation, you've got a jewel in what God's given you. The first thing we talked about was redemption. Redemption is an exchange of value. God does not respond to what we do. We respond to what God has done. Remember Litrurio? That's from the word where the slaves went into the market. Good girl. And it means purchased, never to return, with the intent to set free and remove from slavery, never to be sold again. Not to buy them to use as a slave. Jesus is not purchasing our salvation so we become slaves of God. He says, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. That's redemption. Justification, we talked about last week. Anytime you pay a price for what is free, you're going to be frustrated, because complete innocence and freedom you have from paying any penalty of sin. You've been justified. So propitiation, atonement, remember, an easement, mollify, these words. It's a place where justice, mercy, and grace meet to satisfy God's wrath against sin. It's a place of atonement. So when we're reading, we started out with Romans 3, verse 25. There's two different ways that the word propitiation, two different root words. The first one out of Romans 3:25 is halastrion, and that means a place of, it's a place, it's a noun, it's a place like the mercy seat where the two winged angels covered that, the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and the blood was put on it. That's what he's talking about. It's a place of atonement. Shannon, would you read Hebrews 9:5? Okay, so that same word atonement in that version in the King James is going to read propitiation. So the mercy seat is where the blood was sprinkled. That was the place. Now, would you read 1 John 2:2? He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. So now it's the same word, but it's just become a verb. It's become an action. It's an act of atonement. Would you read 1 John 4:10? That's right. So it wasn't our doing, it was his doing. Just remember, we are born into sin and he's been pursuing us. Can you agree to that? We're not the ones pursuing him. He's always found. But he's the one who's been pursuing us. And I just put on here, don't think too much, because you're going to create a problem that wasn't even there in the first place. What happens once the wrath of God has been appeased or atoned for? Well, if I would have done this, this wouldn't have happened. Okay, so my sin is greater than God's ability to forgive. Just think about what you're saying. Anytime the enemy comes in, it's always going to cast a shadow of doubt on God's goodness or our ability to receive salvation based on works. So we have to know that we need saving. Would you read Daniel 9:9? So, yes, there's God is angry about sin. But even though we've rebelled, he's making provision. Here's a little quote by Oswald Chambers. Never look for justice in this world, but never cease to give it. If we look for justice, we'll only begin to complain and to indulge ourselves in the discontent of self-pity. Why do you think that is? Because we're taking our eyes off him and what he's done, and we start looking at us and what we've done. Or I look at somebody else and what they've done, the things that make your blood boil. I still have to forgive those people. So there's that word propitiation. There has to be an appeasement. I have to appease myself. I've got to let that go. I thought a beautiful example of that was Diane Albright. She turned in a prayer request last week. Her heart was so broken over the change of the law in New York, over the abortion all the way up, you know, to birth, really. But her prayer request, for those of you who get it, was so beautiful because she said, God help those people who've done this. Do you see what I'm saying? Her anger, even though it made her blood boil, she recognized she had to be walking in the mercy and grace of God because of the same way he's done for us. So guys, when we take our eyes off God, we're going to try to justify, well, they should have or I should have, and we're going to get into trouble. And as Oswald Chambers says, it's going to be discontent and self-pity. So let's just settle this right now. Ready? We all make mistakes. Ready? We all sin. Ready? There's forgiveness. So here's the thing. I can make a mistake, but if I keep repeating it over and over because I got away with something, pretty soon God's going to step in, as we studied on redemption and justification, because out of 2 Chronicles 6, he says he brings the famine. Why? I'm going to have to start giving out treats. It's going to happen, isn't it? He brings the famine, he says, so that they will return to him and recognize their need for him. So focusing on others or focusing on us is only going to have the results of what I'm possible of. What am I possible? I'm limited. But God can do the impossible. People like Jacob and Esau, I'm going to kill you. This will never, you're going down. We had a beautiful example of an opportunity last Friday at the memorial service that we had. There was a lot of grace and mercy given, and it had to be the goodness of God. Because we have to let him do the impossible for us. Now, Josh McDowell has an illustration that he has that I wanted to share with you. And he read this from a newspaper just north of L.A. He's from California. And in this newspaper article, they told about this small town that has a speed trap. And at the speed trap, what they do, instead of just writing you a ticket, they give you the ticket, they compound your car, and they take you right to court. So you're going to have to pay to get your car out, and you're going to go to court, and the court is 24 hours. So an 18-year-old girl got caught in the speed trap. So she goes to court. And she is really nervous. So the judge comes in and he asks her, are you guilty or not guilty? And she said, well, did you do what's on this ticket? Yes. He said, okay, guilty. Slap that gavel down. He said, that's going to be $100 or one day in jail. And she was terrified. So he stands up, takes off his robe, puts it on the back of the chair, walks down and stands beside her. They said this has only happened twice in the history recorded in that city. He took the robe off, went and stood beside her, pulled his wallet out, and paid the $100 fine to the court reporter, the secretary there, because it was his daughter. So here's the thing. While justice has to be served, there's an appeasement for the wrath of what happened when we make it right, and he paid the price to make it right for her. There was an appeasement of the judgment against her. And that's a beautiful illustration of propitiation, which is nothing more than appeasement, to mollify, to atone for a wrong. So he came in and did that. So while he was a just judge, he didn't say, oh, it's my daughter. It was only, you know, ever how many miles. That street was slick. He didn't make excuses. He was just. But he also walked in the end that he recognized he represented all people, right? So while God is representing all people, he's still your father. But sin angers him. Propitiation satisfied the debt that required justice and it had incurred. So I want to show you some little pictures that I got today. Is it working? I want to show you some little pictures that I got today. The one on the left, Charity sent me these. The one on the left, she said, and they, guys, if you know, they're like 35 below. No school, no anything. You know, Connor told me, honey, if we go outside for more than 5 minutes, our finger could fall off. You know, like it's a polar vortex. So, yeah, so they've been in, no school, anything. So she sends me, and she said, I thought one of those kids had put something on the door, and I was like, okay, who did this? We're going to wipe this off. When she got closer, she realized the ice was coming through the wood into their house because it's so cold. There was a penetration to what, listen with spiritual ears, there's a penetration to what we think that we can put up barriers, man can put up barriers, and nothing can get through to it. Would you read Psalm 11:5, Shannon? God hates sin. Why? Because it hurts us? Because it, what it does to others? Because it's against his plan to bring us peace and joy. You are never going to have peace and joy when you're operating in sin. You'll have it for a season. The Bible will tell you that. Oh, for a while it'll be just, you know, yeah, we rolling along here. It was so interesting. I think it was in the 90s that they paid $10 million to do a psychological study on the effects of pornography. And it was over 4 years, $10 million. You know what they found? It destroys marriages. Would you just like to have that $10 million and tell them the Bible says, right? But you see, man thinks he knows. We've got this belief now that our intellect is going to prove or disprove the way to truth. I don't care who writes the law. I don't care what they say. If the moral compass is not on this word, you're going to have trouble. Okay? And this word is here because he loves you. Listen. How many parents in here would agree with me that it's harder to discipline a child than just to let them get away with whatever? Takes more time, takes more. Shannon, you are learning this, sister. She is Jesus, Lord, we just pray over Shannon right now, wisdom. But here's the thing. This is what I've learned. I watch my kids. Mom, they gave them money. They dropped them off at the mall. They didn't. I'm like, guys, I don't care. I love you. First of all, I don't have $100 to give you to go to the mall. Second of all, I might have 20 for all three of you to share, but I'm going to be at the mall watching you from a distance. Mama Hawk is not going to let you get in trouble. Don't tell me it's because you can trust us, but you can't trust others. Well, yes, but you could do something stupid thinking you weren't. Right? Well, you're the worst mother in the whole world. I remember Leah came in one time, and she'd been talking to another girl. And the girl happened to go to church here, and she came in. She said, Mom, she told me you're the meanest, most unreasonable mom there is. That hurt me so bad. So I went in my bedroom, and I just cried. I was like, God, you know I'm trying to do the right things and whatever. And a little bit, I heard this little tap, tap on the door, and she was crying. She goes, Mom, sorry I said that. You've never been mean to me, but I told her you wouldn't let me. And she said, and I just thought, and we just hugged and cried over it. But you know what? At the end of the day, they need to know that the things that you're doing aren't easy for you either. But you hold a standard because you love them. Now, if I'm human and I make mistakes, how much more does God love me and care about me? Right? So, would you read Psalm 5:4? So, did he say he couldn't tolerate the wicked? Would you read it again, Shannon?
You do not tolerate. Sorry, I went away. I'll go back. Sorry.
You do not tolerate the sins of the wicked.
Oh God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked.
So did he say he couldn't tolerate the wicked? What did he say he couldn't tolerate? Okay. Sin is not of God. So there is a physical and spiritual, emotional battle that's going on. So yes, I'm looking for truth. I have some qualifiers for truth. Poor Steve, he hears me say this a lot, and I've been saying it a lot more. But number one, I want to know if something's true. They're going to come to me. I want to know it's true. Number two, you have to tell me how it is true and how you know it's true, or I'm not going along with you, and you can't say they or he or she. You need to give me a name. If we're going to act on something, I want the truth. I don't believe in dancing in the shadows. If it's good and it's a truth, let's move forward. If it's not, save yourself some trouble and don't get caught up in it. Okay? I know, Lily. I feel the same way sometimes. So here's the thing. Would you read Colossians 3, 5 through 6? Okay. So why is there anger in the heart of the Father? Why does God hate sin? Why does it anger him when he sees sin? Because it's from the devil? Because that means I'm in agreement with the enemy and not in agreement with God? Because nothing good is going to come from it. James 3, verses like 13 through 18. That, to me, is like a spiritual chiropractic adjustment. But the things of God are first pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and unwavering. But the things of this earth are natural, earthly, and demonic. And where they are, there will be every evil thing. Who benefits from evil? Satan. Because when you're in agreement with him, it's a type of worship. It's a type of friendship. It's a type of alignment. And so it's not that God says, oh, you know, Gay, she's in agreement with the devil. What he's saying is, Gay, there's a way out for you, a better way. And I'm going to wait for you to take it. But there are times when danger's coming, and I believe this, and I still believe it. When people who pray, let's do this for our nation, who is with me on this? When people pray, things that were intended to harm, God says he'll raise up a hedge of protection. And I believe he'll do it. I believe he will stop things from moving forward to harm you, me, and our families. But guys, we still have to obey his word, and his word is clear in Timothy. If you want to have peace for you, pray for your leaders. He didn't define a party. He didn't define a sex. He didn't define an age. And he doesn't define what they look like. He said, if you want to have peace, pray for your leaders. Because the Holy Spirit can intercede and do things that you and I can't do and align things not to get them, but so that they can see the truth and be set free, litruyo, from being a slave. The enemy wants to enslave you, and we don't even know it. That's why the children of Israel wanted to go back to Pharaoh, because they had a health care plan and they got free food. Forget that it was leeks and onions, right? But at least we're cared for. They didn't want to move forward, but the truth was they were in agreement with the enemy and not with God. Because of comfort, because of emotion, please hear me. Emotions are not good indicators of what is right. Mm-hmm. Because I can be deceived. The Holy Spirit cannot be deceived. He can see the end of the thing. So, why is there anger in the heart of the Father? Because he sees what sin does. This is the most horrible analogy that I'm about to share with you. And some of you may already know this story. And it happened in the early 80s in Tyler, Texas. And they've actually taken the story even off the internet because it was so disturbing to the family. But there was a man, and they had a little baby that was just a couple of months old. He went downstairs in the middle of the night to get a snack. So he goes down, he has a bowl of cereal. On the way back up the stairs to where the bedrooms are, he notices something that makes him sick. The glass cover to the snake house is off. His pet python, Monty, figure that out, is missing out of the cage. He runs up the stairs to the baby's room, and there is no baby in the crib. He comes back down and sees the snake back over behind the couch. He pulls it. This is really, if you don't want to hear it, raise your hand and I'll try to make it a little softer. He takes the snake, gets a knife, and rips the snake open, and the baby's already been suffocated and dead. So he takes this snake and he just continues to chop it up and chop it up and chop it up because he is so distraught. And his wife comes down and there is blood everywhere and she sees the baby. The man is still in his underwear. He runs out in the street. The police are called. He is screaming. He has literally lost his mind. The man is sent to a place never to return. And the wife is devastated. That was their only child. I want you to understand, if we could see sin the way that God sees sin, it is strangling the life out of you and me. It swallows us and takes us into a dark place because he wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So when I tried to get this story, guys, that wasn't the only one I found. There was a 7-month-old in Dallas in November of 1980. There was an 11-month-old also in Texas in August of 1984, and it made me so sick I couldn't even continue to look at how many of these cases there are when people pet predators. You with me? And some of them had been fed. The case that I told you about, that snake had already been fed. But sinful man cannot appease God. He can't, even with sacrifices. God himself is the one who took the initiative, and he took it out of love. Sin penetrates, and it intends to kill God life. Because really, what is life without joy and peace? It's just existence. And people are trying to find things to bring joy in life, and nothing's going to bring it to you. Anybody try? without God? Did you have real joy that lasted? Did you have peace? Maybe for a season. But if you have a pew Bible, or if you have one like I do, I'd like for you to turn to page 759, and we're going to read this together. John 10:10. It's on page 759 in your pew Bible. I want us to read it together. God is not trying to keep us from having fun at the mall. God is protecting us from a thief and a murderer. Let's read it together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Shannon, would you read John 14:6? So here's the thing. God himself took on this form. God himself. Don't think that Jesus is separate. I want you to look at the scripture, Isaiah 9:6. I have it up for you, but I want to read it to you. It says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." They are one for you and me. And they operate with the Holy Spirit as one. That is who he is. So when people say, "Oh, well, you know, that's okay. You know, they know. They're just young. They're just sowing wild oats. You know, let them, that's okay. Let them get it out of their system now." Really, do you want somebody to be scarred and have emotional pains that I'm watching people today that they cannot get over because they couldn't handle things? Let me just make this one statement. Just because a child is 18 does not make them have all the wisdom of life. And until they're even that age where they can go out and get a life experience, you need to be helping them make those decisions. Oh, they're 14, they're 15, they're 16. You know, if they don't want to go to church, no. You're going to sit under teaching the same way you wouldn't say you cannot not go to school. Just because a truant officer is going to fine you if you don't, we should be twice as encouraged to send them to church so that the teaching is there for them, so that they have some kind of understanding to grasp. And I will guarantee you, who will agree with me, that there's something you're going to hear in a service that is going to either meet a need you just had and explain it, or give you peace in the answer to overcome it coming up. Right? So here, he knows he's a good father. He's trying to save us. But sin penetrates, and it intends to kill your God life. Don't think so highly of yourself. You're nothing more than a mark on the belt of the devil for who he got to believe him. He doesn't care about you. You're just a notch on the belt. Don't think so highly of yourself. I cannot tell you how many times Steve and I have sat in the office with someone, man or woman, where they've been cheated on by a spouse. And the person will come in, "Oh, we're really in love. We're, you know, whatever it is." How many times have we had to say to that person, "Don't think so highly of yourself. If it wasn't you, it'd have been somebody else. Because you were just ripe for it. Because you fed on it." As Steve said Sunday, you starved your spirit, man. And then when it's starved, guess what evil does? It'll devour you. Lisa Kreitz, some of you may remember her, told a story one time about her friend who had bought a snake from Africa and raised it from little. And the snake had gotten bigger and bigger, and she fed the snake every day. And she noticed that the snake always curled up in this little bed she had for it at night. But all of a sudden, the snake had started, instead of curling up, it was laying straight out beside her bed, not at the foot. So she goes to the veterinarian and she says, hey, my little baby's growing up and I don't understand. Is this something they do when they change? And the veterinarian said to her, the snake is sizing you up, right? Some of you know this. I want to tell you something. The thing that you think is cute and your friend is sizing you up. I hope you're listening tonight. Because the Father wants to propitiate. He wants the wrath that he has against the sin, like that father took it out on that snake. He wants to take it out on the enemy. He has already sent Jesus to do that. The blood is on top of the mercy seat. No more do we have to do that to make atonement and the blood be spilled. It's done. He's not coming again for you. He's not going to come and be raised up on CNN on a cross. The work is done, final, complete. But am I loving something that's sizing me up to devour me? Have I been feeding something and petting it, and it's really going to turn against me? Wow, Gay, you know, that's kind of, ooh. No, because I love you, and I want us to go to these places. So here's, I'll tell one on me. The other day, I'm driving, and I was going from place to place, and I was in a hurry and had another place to go, and I was thinking, how am I going to get this done, and blah, blah, you know how you do. And the light was green. And I went, oh, God, thank you for the green light. And I heard just right over this side. Now, if you could just thank me for the red lights, I'd know you've grown. Right? But it was a loving message to me because he knows that I'm still questioning what he does and not liking it. I didn't like everything my mother did to me. I didn't like everything my father did to me. I don't think they did everything right. But I want to tell you this, I never questioned their motive. And there were some things that happened to me that were very unfair. But I got to watch my mom tell me, Gay, this is why I have to do it this way. Because there's three other kids. And you don't like it, but there's another one who can't do what I could trust you with, and it's going to have to go across the board. That is so unfair, right? I don't want a red light. A red light does not mean God is angry with you. A red light is God's protection from someplace you don't need to be. And the thing that really, that I loved, and I know I've shared this with you before, he always talks to me while I'm driving. I was all the way. I was going up Denton Highway north, coming across that big, you know, road there. What is that one by Harvest Baptist, you know, where it's all, what is it? High Tower. Yes. And especially if there's a train, right? Because the lights just blink. You're like, oh. Well, I was just really wanting to go, and the car in front of me was really slow, and I thought, man, that's going to cost me 15 minutes. Because really, the train was coming. We didn't get across. So I was like, oh, I'm the next one. And instead of running the yellow light, I stopped. I'm like, God, that is so frustrating. Look at all those cars getting ahead of me. And he said to me, you see what's ahead of you. I want you to see that you're in first place. I was like, oh, God. See, I don't know how to see things because my emotions cloud it. But he knows. Because he's appeasing, Jesus has already appeased any anger that should have been driven towards me is now sent to the enemy, and I am free to receive not just his redemption, not just trading it in, not just the justification, but I am free to receive the fact that the atonement, the appeasement for the wrath of sin has been paid for me. You can guarantee when you love the Lord, his wrath is not against you. It's against the one who causes sin, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So tonight I want to ask you, do you feel like there's anything that's sizing you up? Feel like there's anything that we've fallen in love with that given our time and our emotion to, and it's just sizing us up? to take us on and destroy us? And maybe it's not even you. Maybe it's somebody you love, and you're watching them, and you see what's happening. Guys, I want to tell you this. The power of prayer is not limited to what I know. And here's a beautiful thing. The legal term propitiation is this. Even you shared it, Christina. People at the restaurant who you serve the food, you're happy, you're smiling. They eat it all but one bite, and then they gripe and complain, won't leave you a tip and want it for free. And still, what are you supposed to do? Smile. There's an appeasement of the anger, justified or not, because who's my justifier? Who do I get my justification from? That's right. That's a benefit of your salvation. I don't have to get caught up in pettiness. It's my emotions and other people that we let take us on these rides. But the Father wants to set us free tonight. Anybody in here who wants to get set free? Anybody in here who really wants to rest without trying to figure it out tonight, how this is going to work? Guys, that's where faith comes in. I don't have the answer. Listen, I never worried growing up that I wasn't going to have food. Never worried. You know why? Because we worked a garden. And there was going to be something. I may not like just beans, but I could have them. Grateful for cornbread when we got it, right? Because there were hard times sometimes. And sometimes there was steak and potatoes and great things. But I never questioned it because I knew my parents were going to supply for me. There's not a parent in here or my parents who are better than your heavenly dad. And he's going to supply what we need. And I've got to have more faith in him that I don't see the answer to than fear killing my faith from what I'm hearing on the news and the reports. I've got to believe him, and that is faith. And I'm just going to have to trust him because his track record with me has already been proven. And it's the enemy who sows the doubt so you won't receive the full benefits of your salvation. So you will say, well, I probably don't deserve that. Like Jacob when he went to Esau. Let me just give him not one, not two, not three, but, you know, let me do more. And then when he says, brother, I don't even need it, he made him take it just out of guilt. Guys, keep the things God's given you and get rid of the guilt. You with me on this? I'd like for you to stand tonight. Isn't it interesting that in ancient times, you've seen these on movies and read it in books, and, you know, when they were going to these new places that were nobody had ever been before, and the story, even in Greek mythology, is always that the volcano goes off, or there's a drought, or there's a storm, and they always want to take somebody and sacrifice them to appease the gods. Isn't that interesting that it is born in us to know that something's got to die to bring forgiveness and wholeness? Because we do know it. Don't let this world intellectualize why we don't need God. We need him. You read that scripture, you heard it. There's only one way to God, Jesus said, and that's through me. That doesn't make me better than anybody else, but guys, it's a call to prayer. It's a call to prayer to keep me clean and keep me out of that mess, and it's a call to prayer, God help us. God help us. And guys, he will. I'm not praying because I'm just desperate. I'm praying because I believe that my desperation will send help because he loves us. Amen? Let's just pray together right now. Father, I'm just praying over those places, God, where it's stirred up guilt once again to question why and how, God, forgive us. Lord, right now, guys, I can't do it for you. You got to do it. If that's you, Lord, just lift your hand. God, right now, I just need you to forgive me. I just want it to be clean between us, Lord. I want you to know, God, that I accept Jesus. I believe what he did. Help me to get over me, God. Help me, Lord, to hear the things that are meant to hurt me. Help me to not love the things that are predators, but to love you and trust you first. Now, God, our hearts are heavy, Lord. There's no doubt, God. But your word says that the government should be on your shoulders. And Lord, tonight we're just going to turn this over to you. Father, we pray for all our leaders. I don't leave one of them out. God, let the leaders be touched by your spirit. Latruio, God, where they'll be set free from the slavery, even of their own intelligence, from people who are giving them money, God. Lord, set us free from vindication, needing to put somebody in their place and hate. God, set us free from these dark things tonight, Lord. Move in, God, by mercy. Let your love be seen, God. Help me not to get caught up in it, God, but to be caught up with you and be caught away. Holy Spirit, I love you. I'm trusting you tonight. Lord, I'm praying for people right now who are just existing in life. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to lead them and begin to just give them ideas and insights and innovations that could come from nowhere else but you, to encourage their hearts, Lord, that they do hear you, and that you'll never leave them and you'll never forsake them, and that it's not because of what I do or how smart I am, but it's because of the love that you, God the Father, had when you came and allowed heaven to provide everything we're going to need. Thank you for that, Lord. I just thank you tonight, God. Let your praises, God, let your praises fill my mouth. Not the woady woes, not the worries, not the doubt. Let your praises, God, fill this world. God, I trust you over every law that's been made. You're still God. Lord, I trust you over every person who's going to be hurt by a law that is against your word. Lord, show them grace and mercy tonight, Lord. Let sin, God, deliver us from evil, I pray. As Jesus prayed, Lord, deliver us from evil. And let your light shine. And let wholeness come tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. And those who are in agreement said, amen. Amen. Trust God. Okay? Next week we're going to talk about vindication. That's the fourth and the final one on salvation. Okay? God bless you.